feel something kind of move through me. Makes me want to run out that door, run right back. Anybody feel what I feel? Because I know there is unlimited power with God. He can do above what we could ever think or ask. He is able. Somebody say amen. Boy, God is good. What a wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning. And we're so glad that you're here. I don't have visitor cards on everybody, or do I? Is this today?
Yes.
That's today. Grace, is it Butler? Oh, that's you. Oh, Lord, I got ahead of myself. Let me back up. I didn't say what I just said. It's so great to have our kids home, Chandler and Bailey. And I think that most of y'all know them. And we're so proud of them. And they didn't come empty-handed. They brought Brendan. And we love Brendan and Grace. And we love Grace as well. That's Grace Butler, by the way, if you don't know who I'm talking about. Amen. Brother Keith, it's good to see you. God bless you for being with us today. Y'all, most of you guys in here know Sister Catrice. That's, of course, her brother. And we're glad that he's here. That's Junior's daddy. Sounded like country folks, ain't we? That's Junior's daddy right there. But it's good to have them. Sister Dempsey has got all of her mother and father and her brother and her sister-in-law and all of those kids they're having. And the Fosters have got, well, they're not guests, they're members. They've been here before. Is it who? Battles. That's right. Joseph, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. And then, of course, we got June. Is that you? God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Amen. Sister Miller, it's good to see you back there. God bless you for being with us on Resurrection morning. And everybody else, say amen. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a good hand clap of praise all over this house. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And Sister Harper has the children this morning. There is no Sunday school, but if you got any delinquent kids, send them to Sister Harper. Amen. All these beautiful kids. Thank you, Brother Harper. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful celebration. Well, I got a 20-minute sermon. I got a 45-minute sermon. And I got an hour-long sermon. Which one do y'all want? What about the one God wants, right? Oh, God is good. Oh, man, it's so good to be in His house. And let's give a hand clap to that praise team. Did they do wonderful this morning? Oh, man. Best praise team in the state of Alabama. Amen. Well, my sermon title, I don't have a text, but my sermon title is this. Jesus said no. You may be seated. Appreciate the support there, right? Jesus said no. And if you are thinking of the occasion, you probably know where I'm headed this morning. Jesus said no to death. And He said no to the grave. Aren't you glad He said no about that? And then He made a very incredible statement in the Gospels. He said, "You destroy this temple." Of course, they thought He was talking about the temple that He was standing in. But Jesus said, "If you destroy this temple," He was talking about His body. He said, "In 3 days, I will raise it back up." I'm going to move kind of slow this morning, but I'm not going to be long. If you'll amen and help me, I might move a little quicker. I saw an interesting article a couple weeks ago that caught my attention about a church in the state of Washington. And the headline said that church offers miracle cure despite FDA warnings against drinking bleach. The group calls themselves the Genesis chapter 2 Church of Health and Healing. And they plan to meet in a resort in the state of Washington on Saturday night to promote health and healing and to promote a miracle cure that will kill 95% of all diseases. And I'm thinking, I'm sure it will, if it don't kill you first. One interesting catch in the article is the church is asking for those that attend the meeting to donate $450 per person. Now, if you bring your wife and come as a couple, you get a discounted rate for $800. And I'm thinking to myself again, I'm like, do they know you can get bleach at Walmart for like $3 a gallon? And so they call this the miracle mineral solution. So apparently there's some other ingredients in the bleach. But what sparked my attention and my concern is that I know the nature of people, and they'll probably have a good crowd that will show up and attempt to buy into that. I'm reminded of the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 where Peter wrote, and he said, we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, for we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majesty and splendor with our own eyes. Give the Lord a hand clap to that. Now, let me tell you something about Jesus. He said no to a lot of things other than death and the grave. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing good, healing all. Everybody say all. That were oppressed. Everybody say oppressed. Of the devil, for God was with him. In other words, Jesus said no to oppression. And apparently He said no to the devil, because it looks like the devil was the one that was stirring up the oppression in the text. Jesus said that I have come that you might have life, and have that life more abundantly. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's an interesting story in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. And Jesus pulls up to an island of the Gadarenes. And the scripture says in verse 2 that when He had come out of the ship, immediately there met Him one of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. This is a story about a man that is horribly possessed with demonic spirits. And let me explain the condition that this man was in. Verse 3 says, he had his dwellings among the tombs. He's living in graveyards. Anybody ever want to go sleep in a graveyard? If you do, just come on down here right now and let me just pray for you. He was dwelling amongst the tombs, and no man could bind him, not even with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke into pieces, and neither could no man tame him. You know, I think about taming an animal that's wild, but you don't think about taming a human. Somebody say amen. But when he saw Jesus, this is interesting. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, the scripture says that he ran and he worshiped him. And then when you get to verse 7, when he finally gets to Jesus, this isn't the man talking. This is the unclean spirit talking, and you got to catch that. The spirit cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He says, I adjure thee by God that thou tormentest me not. That wasn't the man speaking. That was the spirit speaking. And it was like Jesus looked at this man that had all of these unclean spirits in him. And it was like Jesus was saying, no, not today. You've went too far. Today it's over. No. Can I tell you that Jesus still says no? And the Bible says that this man had legions of devils. This means that he had thousands, because the word legion comes from the Roman army. And the lowest number that I could find in a Roman army legion was 1,500. The highest was about 5,000 or 6,000. So we'll take the low number. We'll just say 1,500. So this man has 1,500 unclean spirits living on the inside of him. And that tells you why he couldn't be tamed. It tells you why he's living amongst the tombs and chains could not hold him. And that defines the way of life that he's living. But the Bible says that when Jesus got outside of the boat, when that boat landed on the island of the Gadareans, that when he got off the boat, this man who had all of these issues of unclean spirits, that this man was able to run, come on somebody, and get to Jesus with 1,500 unclean spirits pulling and grabbing at him. Nothing could keep this man from getting to Jesus. And there is a principle here that's a spiritual principle, that if you really want to get to Jesus, you don't have a problem or a condition or an issue that can hold you back. There's not a devil in this city. There's not a past or a failure that can hold you back from getting to Jesus if you really want to get to Jesus. You might let your excuses and all these things hold you back, but if you really need something from God, what shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Nothing shall separate us from Him. If you need to get to Him, you can get to Jesus, because Jesus still says no. Somebody say amen. All throughout the scripture he said no. There are so many different things that he said no to. Jesus said no to many diseases. He said no to blindness and leprosy. And in fact, there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And in fact, there was a man that had an issue. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed for 38 years. And the Bible says that he laid by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and he could not find his healing. But Jesus walked up one day and Jesus said, no, enough. And in fact, Luke chapter 7 tells us there was a mother who was going to bury her son, and there was a funeral procession, and Jesus saw this woman weeping over the loss of her son, and he was moved with compassion. And can I just remind you that he sees your circumstance, and he sees your heart this morning. He sees your condition. He knows what you weep over, and he knows what you cry over, and it moves his heart. God wants to help us. On resurrection morning, he was touched with compassion. And the Bible says that he laid his hand on the casket and he commanded the dead boy to get up. And the dead boy got up and was raised from the dead. And Jesus saw the weeping mother and he walked over to the casket and he looked death in the eye. And it was like Jesus said, no, not today. Death isn't going to hold this young boy today. He's got a future. He said no to sickness and no to leprosy and no to being paralyzed and no to death. And I'm preaching to this congregation this morning to remind everybody in here that Jesus still says no. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He said no to all of that, God still says no. I don't know what you walked in here this morning carrying. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know that in a crowd like this, you're going to have some people that are dealing with trouble and hurt, pain and issues. And I just want you to know that before we leave this service, Jesus can show up at your life just like He showed up at Gadara, and just like He showed up at the pool of Bethesda, and just like He showed up for the one that had leprosy, and just like He showed up for the woman with the issue of blood. Your issue's not too big for God, that God can't step over to what you're dealing with and say no. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36, very powerful statement in the 36th verse. And they besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. I don't even have to touch Him if I can get something that's touching Him. I'll just grab His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Can I tell you, all you need is a touch from God this morning. And I know it's Easter service and I know it's resurrection morning, but God still moves on resurrection morning. And the Bible says, as many as touched Him. And I've met people through the years that say, well, preacher, I get in service, but it never happens to me. It can happen to you if you want to touch Him. Because it says, as many that touched Him, meaning that if you want to touch Him, there's nothing that can hold you back. This story reminds you of the woman with the issue of blood that said, if I can just touch the very hem of His garment, I can be made whole. That tells me He don't have to lay hands on me. He don't have to call my name out. He don't have to embarrass me. But right where you are this morning, if you want to, you can touch God sitting in your chair. Right where you are. See, I know what's going on in here. This is probably my 14th or 15th Easter service I preached. And everybody in here has got leaving on their mind. I already know that. Because you're thinking about family pics. You got something in the crock pot. The kids are thinking about candy and eggs and chocolate bunnies. But let me tell you something this morning. There might be somebody in here that needs a touch from God. And let me tell you something. If there's somebody in here that wants to touch Him, God's going to make Himself available. Let me tell you what we need. We don't need to leave with family pics and candies and Easter bunnies. We need to leave with a touch of God down in our spirit. And if you want to touch Him this morning, it's not difficult. He's not going to call you out or embarrass you or make you stand up. But right where you are, you can just throw your hands up and say, God, I'm in a situation and I feel overwhelmed with depression and anxiety and fear. And I just need You to step into my life and just say, no. Just say no. Somebody say amen. Amen. Mark chapter 4 tells a wonderful story. The same day when they were come, He said unto them, to His disciples, let's get on the boat and pass to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took Jesus even as He was. Can I tell you, that's still the way you got to take Him. You got to take Him as He is. You got to take Him how He is. History says Thomas Jefferson took the Bible and cut all the miracles out. Why would you want a Bible with no miracles? Why do you not want to serve a miracle-working God? But He was some type of deist. But you got to take Jesus as He is. Somebody say amen. That's what they did to Abraham Lincoln. You go through some of the books about Abraham Lincoln and there's different opinions because they've changed him through the course of history. But you got to take Jesus as He is and be unto Him what He wants you to be. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it's now full. So the boat's taking on water. The boat's beginning to sink. But remember what Jesus said. He said, we're going on over to the other side. And he knew the storm was in the middle of the destination that they were going. And sometimes he'll send you to a destination, even though there's a storm you got to go through. And I know that we don't like storms. In fact, the minute we get in a storm or there's something brewing in our life that we don't like, we instantly think it's the devil and God's got to get me out of this. But sometimes when you're in a storm, you're right in the sovereign will of God. You're marching into the direction that God wants you to go. I went up, had to go give blood a couple days ago, and I went to Quest Diagnostics here in town. I went up there. I was supposed to go to LabCorp. They printed the wrong lab order, but it was a God thing. I walked into Quest. I never go to Quest. I always go to LabCorp. I'd recommend LabCorp if you got to do labs, by the way. And I'm dealing with all this. I got this storm brewing in my life. I'm dealing with all this stuff, you know, and they check my blood about every other day, it seems like. It's not that much, but it seems like it. I just walk around like, if I get pulled over, they're going to think I'm doing meth. The track marks on my arm. And so I go in there, and I'm walking back, and this older gentleman, he's probably mid-60s, maybe late 60s. He's a phlebotomist at Quest, an African-American gentleman, very nice guy. And I walk back there, and he's got C.C. Winans playing The Goodness of God. And so I walk in, and it was Good Friday, and I walk in, and I kind of hummed it a little bit. He said, do you know this? I said, oh, I know this. I said, I love C.C. Winans. And he said, I was kind of humming it, you know, and he said, you sound like you got a good voice. I said, oh, my wife does all the singing. I don't do that. I got to be feeling something real special for me to sing. Every now and then it'll get on me, but it's every now and then. He sat me down, and I'm sitting there, and I'm always kind of emotional. I don't know why. And I'm sitting in there, and he's getting my stuff, and we start talking, and he was asking about what I was doing this weekend. I said, well, we got church. You know, I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I said, we'll be at church Sunday. We just started talking, and he said, yeah, I'm going down to Bainbridge on Saturday, and I got a big family eating with my family, and then I'm turning around and coming back up Saturday night. And Sunday, I'll be at the church all day, and we got a couple services, and it's just going to be a wonderful occasion. And we were just talking, and C.C. Winans is playing The Goodness of God. I'm just kind of feeling it, you know, and we're talking to each other, and he started telling me, he said, yeah, I lost my wife 2 years ago to cancer. I said, okay. And he starts just talking, and he says, but you know, he said, God was so good to me through them years. He said, and I ain't been with a woman. I hadn't dated a woman since she passed. And he said, I don't plan to. He said, I'm riding out with Jesus, and we're just talking. And, you know, we're talking, and he didn't say anything that I've never heard before. But sometimes when you're just sitting there, and he started just saying some stuff to me, and he was going, you know, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I've had some high points with God through the years. I've had some mountaintop experience. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I learned a whole lot more in the storm than I ever did on top of the mountain. And I'm thinking about this storm I got going on, and he didn't know it, but I was about to start crying in his office. I was holding back tears. I was starting to get that old weird look, you know, and I was kind of biting on my tongue, and CC singing in the background, and that ain't helping. And I'm like, I'm fixing to start squalling in this man's office, and he's ministering to me, and he don't even know it, you know, and I'm just going, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's so true. That's so true. And I'm listening to him. And you know what? Just because you're going through something, it don't mean it's wrong. And it don't mean it's the devil. And it don't mean you need to turn around. Maybe God wants to show you something in the storm that you can't see on top of the mountain. And maybe there's something you'll see down in the ship with the waves and the wind that you can't see on top of the mountain. The Bible says that this ship was rocked back and forth. And it says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Now, this wasn't a my pillow that he was sleeping on. I say that because last night we had all the kids in the house, and they were. I saw them walking by with pillows, and you got to get the right pillow. I spent $150 on a very special pillow and slept on it one night. Said, I can't sleep on that. You got to get the right one. Well, it says he was had a pillow, but it probably wasn't anything like we're used to in our life. Somebody say amen. And it says they woke him up and they said, Master, do you care not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind. And the word rebuked in this story is the same word that's used when he rebuked the unclean spirit out of the man that had a legion of devils. It's the same Greek word. So that makes me think this storm may have been of the devil. But Jesus still sent them through. He told the disciples, we're going to pass over. And let me tell you something right now. If you're in a storm this morning, or you feel like you're down in the valley, and sometimes you get to that place and you feel like the disciples, and I'm thinking, where's he at? Is he asleep? Has he left me? Because you don't always feel him, but I can promise you he's on your boat. And if you'll reach out to him this morning, if you'll call him by name, you can wake him up this morning. He can go to the bow of the boat and say, peace, be still. And he can calm the troubled waters in our life. Somebody say amen. It was like he looked at that storm and he said, no. And he can look at your storm and say no. Jesus said no all over the place in the gospel. Somebody say amen. He still says no this morning. Aren't you glad about that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. I'm moving quick. But I want to tell you something. Hear me now. Jesus said no so that you and I could say no. He said no so that I can say no. And I say no this morning. No to fear. No to my past. No to your addictions. No to depression. No to anxiety. No to hate. No to racism. No to loneliness. No to sickness, and you can fill in the blank with anything else going on in your life. Jesus said no so that you would have the power in your life to say no to the things down here. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, Peter is preaching, and he quotes something from the psalmist David out of the Old Testament. It's a prophecy that David saw. He saw a glimpse of the first resurrection and the first Passover of Messiah being crucified. Verse 25 says, for David speaketh, this is David of old, speaketh concerning him. Peter is preaching it. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore, my heart rejoiced. David, why is your heart rejoicing? And his tongue was glad. It means his mouth was full of praise. Because David saw this, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because I saw a glimpse of the first resurrection morning. 27 says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or amongst the dead, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. He knew that because Jesus would get out of the grave on Easter morning, you can lay my body in a casket and my flesh shall have hope that if he got Jesus up out of the ground, he'll get you up out of the ground. Somebody ought to shout. When you die, your bodily immediately goes through the process of returning from the dirt from whence it came. But Jesus was not just a man. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was made of a woman, but he was the incarnate God. This is why we call him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Somebody say amen. So when he went to the grave, his flesh was dead, but his spirit waited for 3 days because his spirit knew that in 3 days, his body wasn't going to lay there long enough to see corruption. The process of decay, not going to get in his body. It ain't going to be there long enough. And the Bible says that the Spirit laid with him in the grave. And 3 days later, he came up out of the tomb on resurrection morning. And can I remind this congregation that he came up so that you can come up. He came up so that you don't have to stay stuck where you are and live where you are, but you can say no to death. Somebody needs to start saying no. There's some things in your life that you put up with long enough, and you need to start saying no to sickness, no to disease. Sister Plum's been free of cancer for 11 years. We say no to cancer. We say no to divorce. We say no to addiction. We say no to prison. I'm not going to be a slave anymore. Somebody shout no. It's a great morning for you to say no. Paul writing in Romans chapter 8, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies with life by His Spirit. He's not just talking about the resurrection in that verse. Of course he is. But you read the context of that chapter. He's talking about you being an overcomer. And because you have the Spirit of Christ in you. And because God dwells in you. And because His Spirit is in you. And there's resurrection power in you. You don't have to live beneath your circumstance. You can live on top of your circumstance. And you can be an overcomer to fear and depression and doubt and unbelief. And you can overcome the issues of life. Because you're meant to have dominion in this world. Because the Spirit in you gives you that power. Somebody say amen. He ultimately said no, so I could say no. But he really said no, so I ultimately can say yes. Because when I say no to all of these other vices that I mentioned, I'm actually saying yes to life. Yes to peace. I'm saying yes to joy. Yes to freedom. Yes to favor. Yes to His blessings. Yes to forgiveness. Yes to mercy. Yes to grace. Yes to an abundant life. Yes to prosperity. Yes to the goodness of God. Yes to love. Come on, somebody. He said no so that ultimately, Jose, I could say yes, I want all the good things in life. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, darling. I don't want to mess you up this morning. Told y'all we had a fall last week. He'll never love like you love when Jesus gets down on the inside of you. I was in that office with that guy and I said, man, I got to get up out of this chair. I was biting on my lip. I got to get up out of this chair. And I stood up. I didn't know him and he didn't know me. He was talking to me. Just because you're a pastor, preacher, don't mean somebody can't. Don't mean, you know. I get down too, just like you do, and I have struggles just like you do. Sometimes I need somebody to talk to me, and God will use the most unlikely people. I slipped out of that chair and I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I looked at him. I said, I love you, brother. And without even flinching, he looked at me. He said, I love you too. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was in me. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was in him. And we had a kindred spirit. I didn't have to know him. The same blood that washed me clean was the same blood that washed him clean. And that same blood can wash you clean this morning. Jesus came to say no. So ultimately you can say yes. Yes, I want all God's blessings. I want the favor of God. I want God to pour out His goodness on my family. I want my family to be blessed. I want the church to be blessed. I say yes to the things of God. Anybody feel that? Anybody just kind of want to say yes? God, give me Your abundant life. Why don't you come on down this morning? Just step on out and come around the altar. We're not going to embarrass nobody, pray for nobody. We're not going to lay hands on nobody. But why don't you just step out and on Easter morning just kind of gather around the altar. Y'all don't all move at one time. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I read an interesting story, and we're going to go into a song of worship. There's a book by Andy Andrews. It's called The Seven Decisions. And in the book, he tells about some rain dancers in Australia. They were Aborigines. And there was one particular tribe. And this particular tribe, for some reason, had great success with getting rain. So they sent a newspaper journalist who traveled out to the outback. And he met with the chief of this tribe. And he asked him, he said, "Chief," he said, "what is it that gives you such good success?" The chief said, "Well, that's easy." He said, "We just dance till it rains." We just dance till it rains. And I thought about Abraham. And God giving him all those promises that he'd have a son. And he waited and he waited. He tried a few times to make it come to pass. But that only made it longer. If God gives you a promise, God will bring it to pass. You don't have to put your hands on it and do all that stuff. And he waited and waited, and finally he got the promise of a son by the name of Isaac, well beyond the years of Abel to give birth. He was some 100 years old. His wife, I think, was probably in her 90s or early hundreds. And he waited and he waited. And Paul, to the church at Rome, picked up and he said, "Abraham staggered not at the promises of God." And I said, you know what he was doing? He was just dancing until it rained. He was just dancing until it rained. I come to tell somebody this morning, you may leave this house and the problem you have, it may go home with you. But you keep dancing until it rains. You keep worshiping until God comes through. You keep showing up and doing what you can do and giving God praise. And at some point, you'll feel rain begin to fall out of the sky. And you'll feel the promise of God come to pass all over this house this morning at this Easter service. Why don't we all lift our hands to Him right now? Maybe you got a situation this morning that's troubled your heart. And you need Jesus to step into your life and look at it and say, "That is enough. No more." If that's you, you are to come to this altar. Maybe you need a touch from heaven this morning. Maybe you need God to touch you deep down in your soul. You get to this altar, we'll pray with you as they go into some song of worship all over this house. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your resurrection. Thank you for your Spirit this morning. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand.
Come on.
I've known up until I lay my head.
Come on, hadn't God been good to us?
I will sing of the goodness of God. It's all my life you have been.
Come on, with every breath.
I will sing.
Come on, sing it.
Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Running.